Welcome to the Red Card District. My name is Alex Beck. You're joined by Joaquin at Morning Point, Mark at MarkCJC88, and the wonderful Martin at Heisenberg Camp. Today we're going to discuss the aftermath of the group stages, and we're also going to be discussing how terrible my sunglasses are. But so why don't we get going on who's impressed you the most in the group stages, guys?
Well, let's start with you, Martin. Why don't you tell us, let's start with our response to the United States qualifying. I know you had a passionate display that you had, were a bundle of nerves ahead of that match. But you survived that and you're here with us today. So what do you feel about United States progression?
Yeah, bourbon sort of got me through it. Bourbon and Cristiano Ronaldo are the reason I'm still here.
That's what Irina Shayk says as well.
I like that. Well done. It was good, you know. I mean, obviously, I've heard a lot of sort of naysayers, haters, as the kids call them, say we were lucky, and there's certainly an element of luck to it. But I think we were the second best team in the group. I really do. I think we outplayed Portugal pretty decisively. I really think we went toe to toe with Germany for a long spell. So I think we absolutely deserved it, and I'm very proud of the way the team played. I mean, I think, again, outplaying Portugal, playing pretty even with Germany for pretty long spells of that match, really big-time performances from, I think, Fabian Johnson especially has taken a huge step forward. Looks like a really good player. Jermaine Jones, who I was very skeptical about coming into the tournament, has been great. Kyle Beckerman's been great.
Both of those proving a lot of doubters. I mean, I never thought Beckerman was much more than MLS class, and I was never really convinced by Jones, but he's really performed well.
What about Davis? He's been incredibly average, but amazing at being average. USA, yeah. USA.
Who?
USA,
was he on the pitch yesterday?
Davis, yeah.
Dempsey's been Dempsey. Like, he just, you know, whatever people say about him, he seems to always pop up when it counts, and Tim Howard's been a rock, and I think for all the doubts and naysayers, and I was one of them on a lot of things of Klinsmann coming into this tournament, I think he's pretty much got everything right. I mean, I think he's got the lineups right. He's got the team selection right. His subs have made a big difference. And, whatever happens from this point out, this has been a successful tournament for the United States, because I don't think really anybody expected us to get out of this group, and we got out of this group, and we deserve to get out of this group. And, it's been a great tournament for us so far. So we're ready for Belgium.
Yeah, I think it's been big. I mean, really, I wasn't really sure what to expect from this team. I know that we've been kind of coming along and developing, absolutely. But they really come along and make a step towards a really solid team and a decent competitor. Not a team that's at a significantly lower level. It's a team that really goes in there and fights. And, yeah, they might not be the most talented team on paper, but they're really giving a good, committed team performance that we haven't seen so much from many other teams. Mark, what do you think about what you've seen from them so far?
I would have to agree with that. They're definitely playing as a unit. I think Jurgen Klinsmann did a good job. I mean, I said it before, but, you know, having this Eurocentric leadership, you know, sort of leaving Donovan out and putting the responsibility of the team into the hands of, you know, Clint Dempsey, Michael Bradley, Tim Howard, especially, who I feel is probably
killed Captain America for the rest of the Avengers.
Yeah, you know, but at the same time, then he brought in Iron Man and all these guys.
Okay, which one's Iron Man? Is it Jones?
I think it was interesting because I actually watched an interview with him talking about how a quarter of the U.S. players are German nationals or American nationals,
or have had sex with German people.
Yeah, or have had sex with German people, but. You know, he just wanted to sort of shape this team in his image, and I think that they really are fighting.
He's God now.
Yeah, they're fighting for him. They're fighting for each other, which is really interesting. And all the leaders are in the right places, and they're doing good things.
No, that's one thing. I mean, I was certainly in the camp that really thought Donovan should have gone to the tournament, and that's a big thing. And I still kind of think that. But the really one big factor that really swayed me the other way, and the thing that I thought would be the logic behind it for Klinsmann, was that maybe he was an outlier. He didn't see eye to eye with the coach, and what he wanted to do was to put his brand and get his people all behind their one cause. And
right.
I mean, I'm by no means going to say that Donovan's any kind of like clubhouse cancer. Like, you could say like France is enjoying this really happy clubhouse because Nasri's not there. I'm not going to say. I mean, look, I've heard Donovan's a prima donna, but we all know he's a good player and what he's done for U.S. soccer.
Right.
But, I mean, in terms of having everyone on the same page, I mean, he made his decision, and honestly, with this is always going to be a results-based kind of business. So mm-hmm. it all depends on what you do. Because we got out of the group stages, he made the right decision in not taking Landon. Even if I don't disagree with it now, he did better than I expected us to do. And that's fantastic.
Exactly.
Yeah, but you talk about the French dressing room. I mean, like, Giroud is their muse. You know, everyone just looks at him and forgets all the problems in the world. So I understand why France have got it good.
And, I mean, allow me to say something that some may consider a little controversial, but I think it was about...
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I think it was about time for the United States to stop putting themselves in the image of a mediocre player in the world stage. I mean, as much as he's done for the U.S. national team, let's face it, you know, he's not necessarily a global superstar. And
I mean, if you talk to an Everton fan... It might.
They would say that he was a good, solid player.
Well,
but.
Yeah, but I mean, as far as what we've had, I don't like. We don't need to dwell on the Donovan thing.
Of course.
It's just. Go ahead.
One thing I would say on the Donovan thing that I think, and I was certainly in the camp that thought Donovan should have gone, but in retrospect, I think it was a reason Klinsmann gave and may have been proven out is that he knew that the United States was going to have to travel more miles between its three hosts than any other team in the tournament. He knew we were going to have to play in Manaus, in Recife, these just brutal conditions. And, you know, people who are close observers of the United States team that were there in the 30-man camp in Palo Alto will tell you that Donovan was not in the best physical condition. And so I think that may have been a big factor for Klinsmann. And I was just looking at some of the stats today, and I think, you know, Bradley's run more than anybody else in the tournament, has covered more ground. And I think Beckerman is like 14th and Jones is 23rd or something like that. So three of the top 25 runners in the entire tournament are our midfield.
Yeah, it's our midfield.
And so I think Klinsmann wanted a team that was going to be able to go into these brutal conditions and just run the other teams into the ground or into submission if we could. And I think that's been borne out.
Seems like a very American philosophy, though, too. I mean, because it just reminds me of playing. Yeah. I mean, like, I was around, like, there's, you know, college soccer in the United States, NCAA, D1. It's all about, you know, it's all about technique and speed, but it's all about having the best fit athletes. That's the way I saw a lot of programs. That's the way they train them, especially.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, the substitution policy makes that a little more easy, but, but I mean, yeah, it seems like a very American way that you want to have a team that can work hard and bust their ass and be in the best shape, you know,
absolutely,
to be able to wear down a team, and it's seemed like it's worked to pretty good effect so far.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one thing that they seem to have that they haven't had before is grit. I think they can understand
what Clint Mathis wasn't gritty,
not gritty enough.
Brian
McBride,
but
I think they understand
grit.
They understand the nuances of grinding it out now. Like before, I think they were a little too gung ho for their own safety, and now they kind of get it. So,
well, I mean, there is more experience on the roster. I mean, we have more players playing on bigger. On, you know, bigger platforms, bigger leagues.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, we've talked about it. Like, I wasn't the happiest about some players in the league choices they made. I don't think Jermaine Jones leaving for Turkey or Bradley leaving for the MLS was necessarily the best. Mm-hmm. You know, and like, yeah. I'll still maintain that I'd love Bradley to be playing in Europe somewhere.
Right, absolutely.
League. But but these guys are, most of them are performing, you know, and like, Bradley still hasn't really shown us his best. You know, and hopefully we're going to see that against Belgium because we're going to need that.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to have to be a performance. But I think one of the best feelings is we're going to this match against Belgium, and there isn't a feeling amongst real U.S. men's national team fans that that we're such big underdogs. I mean, yeah, we're underdogs against Belgium, but where the fuck have Belgium been? They've been as far as we've been in the World Cup. You know what I mean? Like in terms of where have you been lately?
Yes, but if you sing to yourself, I believe that we can win 1,000 times, I mean, do you believe that you will lose anything?
Probably not.
No. I mean, that's the stunning thing. And I was talking a little bit with Tim Stillman on Twitter about this today. You know, when I look at those two rosters side by side, I can think of three, maybe four guys on the United States 23-man roster who could maybe have a chance of getting into Belgium's 23-man roster. So, you know, there's still a big talent discrepancy, but I think we've gotten so used to the United States' sort of mentality and physicality and sort of generally being able to overachieve. And I haven't been that impressed with Belgium so far, which is a little bit silly to say given that they won all three of their games, but I thought they were in a weak group, especially given how many talented creative players they have who really haven't done much of anything. I mean, they're they've been pretty dire to watch and haven't created a ton of chances.
Sort of unconvincing, if anything.
But I mean, after that, and you see the way, you know, the USA took it to, like I said, took it to Portugal. We're really in there battling with Germany. I mean, they were able to stand toe to toe, even if they lost in the narrow defeat. Mm-hmm. They were able to stand toe to toe with them. So you don't think that we're going to be outclassed across the pitch in that sense. It's going to be a battle. Yeah, Belgium have the talent. But
the reason Belgium don't get on is because 7 out of their 12, 13 starting players. 13 don't start, of course, but
heavy rotation. Yeah, we are. Interesting.
7 of the top 13 players they have been on the bench all year in their leagues. So they have no. I mean, they're pretty much like Seth Rogen in the first movie he ever made. So that's what they're dealing with right now. Mm-hmm. They're trying to find that chemistry that makes them funny to get them past the.
Makes them funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you're saying. That's an interesting analogy.
Interesting, to say the least.
Yeah.
I think we're underdogs, but I think it's pretty close to a toss-up.
Is there a real chance we got through?
Yeah, but I think you're presented as underdogs, but I think you're just even. I think Belgium have four players that are better. And that can make a difference, but if they don't have a good game, it's all for the taking for you guys.
I think it's 40-60, and that's close enough to a toss-up for me. Because really, the talent, if you look at it on paper, talent-wise, one team is clearly better.
Mm-hmm.
But the way they've been playing, and with everything the way it's been going, it wouldn't surprise me either way. And we have a realistic shot. And if you could tell me that, one, that USA were going to get out of the group stage, and that they'd be playing a team that you would feel pretty comfortable about them having a chance of winning,
mm-hmm.
you'd feel pretty good. Because honestly, look, to be perfectly honest, as good as USA have looked, if they're matched up against Colombia,
Argentina.
Yeah, even Argentina haven't looked that great. But, we would still favor them heavily.
Belgium.
Even the Netherlands, a lot of these other teams that have qualified and won other matches,
mm-hmm.
you'd be a little bit more nervous than Belgium. We have all the reason to be nervous, but...
Don't underestimate.
But they're not. but they haven't looked like the most fearsome team in the tournament. And so
why not? We need to listen to a Belgian podcast about this exact same thing from their perspective and understand the emotions that they're going through. So if there's any Belgians out there that want to have relations with me and speak to us about how
we can find Jean-Claude Van Damme somewhere.
We can,
he's got around here somewhere. He's doing all sorts of shitty commercials around here now.
Yeah, well,
or Coors. Coors. Oh my god. Okay.
All sorts. Well, let's move on to some of the other teams. So, Martin, who have really impressed you of the other teams? Can you
other than America?
Other than America, obviously. I think it's been a big tournament for South America again. I mean, they had a big tournament in 2010.
I'd say the Americas in general. We have 8 teams.
Gone through. Mm-hmm.
3 out of 4 and 5 out of 6. North and South America. The Americas are fucking killing it.
Right.
Yeah, no. Western Hemisphere.
West side.
West side.
We are on the west side here. So that all day.
But yeah, Ecuador was a little bit of a fluke getting through just because they won all those qualifying matches at Elevation and Quito. But even they were close to going through, but... You know, so I thought Colombia's been enormously impressive. I think they've, in a way, been the team of the tournament so far.
Super raw.
Chile's been great, especially considering that they really haven't even had a fit Vidal, who's their best player so far. Netherlands kind of surprised me. I did not think they were going to get out of that group, especially not in the style they did.
In my ultimate reality, they still haven't, so let's just keep it that way.
So those are the three teams that really have sort of jumped out at me so far as the real kind of ascendant teams in this tournament.
Costa Rica?
Costa Rica's been great. It's a great story. I mean, I don't know anybody who would have had them winning that group.
Certainly not.
Really, I don't know anybody who had them getting out of that group, let alone winning it.
The craziest, most STD-filled Costa Rica fan in the world.
Yeah. Plays in random bets at dingy casinos.
it's been great. It's been a great tournament so far. Obviously, tons of goals. It's been nice to see some of the African teams do pretty well. I've been impressed with both Nigeria and Algeria, and I think both of them have a well. it's hard to see Algeria getting past Germany, but I'm interested to see that Nigeria-France match because I think they're both losing. Could give France a match.
Come on, man, be real, man.
Can we not destroy African hopes? I don't like white privilege any more than you
do. I'm a realist, okay? Okay. I'm sorry. I just can't see either one of them.
That's what Christopher Columbus said.
Who did Nigeria face?
France.
Yeah, Nigeria-France. Yeah. France, we've known you mentioned France. I mean, they've looked quite good. We all know they could be that good. They have a lot of talent across their roster, which we all know. We're quite familiar.
Yeah. They have depth in their squad as well.
Yeah, they have a lot of talent, a lot of depth. I mean, there's a lot of good players. And we've seen in the primary, in the first couple of group matches, we saw most of our Arsenal contingent didn't play, even when it was an ex-Arsenal. But, you know, Sanya, Koscielny, Giroud.
Right.
Giroud's been playing every match at some point, but... You know, they've been peripheral, and if you can exclude players from top clubs, which they do across the board at every position, I mean, you're looking pretty good, and they're firing on all cylinders. The substitutes are coming in and scoring goals. Like, they're looking dangerous. Like, I have them going out against Germany in the semifinal, but I'm becoming less convinced by that every match.
They're becoming less Germanic.
Yeah, I mean, they're moving with a lot more pace and a lot more fluidity than Germany have been the last two matches, to be honest. And their playmakers are doing their job and making plays, you know. And they, even in the second match they played, they could bring on Pogba off the bench. I mean, that's impressive. And they're still dominating.
Yeah, but you're speaking as an ex-United fan.
He was raised and taught in the ways of Manchester United, so... You got to admit.
Well, I do. I think you hit on something because when I was thinking about it, especially now that Spain is out, I'm not sure anybody has as good of a midfield as France does right now. When you stack up Pogba and Valbuena and Kabay and Matuidi, I think has been like one of the real surprises to me.
Matuidi's been incredible.
He had a great season.
He's been fantastic. Those four guys, I'm not sure. You know, you go down the line, Brazil, whoever, but I don't know that anybody else has four guys that are playing as well.
I'd just like to make a shout out to Griezmann here, who nobody gives much love to, but comes on and just plays the part perfectly. You know, provides a lot of attack and a lot of supply to the strikers.
He's got a good bit of cut and thrust. You know? I mean, he's quite incisive and he can deliver a telling ball. He's great with the assist and he knows how to finish in front of goal. I mean, it's.
Yeah,
I've been a huge admirer of him for a while, and I think that...
You're not going to get him at United, you know that, right?
Oh, well, we can only dream. We can only dream.
We can all dream. That's what we all do anyway. So what have your thoughts been on Messi, Martin? Have you been impressed by him? Do you think this is going to spur him on to success, his goals?
I think it could. I mean, it's almost a little bit unfair because I don't think Argentina... has been very good. I think he's had to take a lot of the load on his tiny, tiny shoulders. He kind of had to do everything himself, which is a lot to ask. But, you know, I think there was so much pressure on him coming into this tournament, both because of the you can't be a great player until you do yada, yada, yada in the World Cup. And this was the South American World Cup. This is, you know, there's tons of Argentinian.
He just turned 27. There's no better platform than this.
Right. And so, considering the pressure he's under, for him to pop up and score all these late goals to send them through, I think has been impressive, even though the matches I've seen, he hasn't really sort of completely taken over and dominated the match. But I think it's been impressive so far, and I still have this sneaky suspicion that Argentina is going to keep getting better and better throughout this tournament. And you know, I think it's especially true when you look at...
I will match your sneakiness, and I will say they're going to win the World Cup.
Wow.
Okay. Now he's switching over. They were my pick for the tournament. And I was
what?
Saying,
you were Brazil? Oh, mine was Brazil.
Yeah, he's been the Brazil for the whole
time. Oh, shit. I'm so sorry, guys. I'm so sorry.
It's going to script for me, because for me, I just thought, like, Messi has every perfect motivation for it. You know, it's the year that he didn't win the Ballon d'Or. Uh-huh. And we know, so a guy like Messi, as much as he likes to be quiet, you know how, like... As much as Ronaldo would be petulant and outwardly emotionally distraught about this kind of thing, like, Messi just keeps it in. It just fuels him.
Bottled up.
This is so wrong on so many levels. What are we talking about now?
Yeah. Easy, but I think especially when you look at the way the brackets are divided, you know, I think one side of the bracket is considerably stronger than the other because you've got that pot of South American teams with Chile, Brazil, and Colombia in it. That's going to get to one semifinal.
Agreed.
And then you've got Germany and France in the other semifinal that's going to face them. I mean, those are a lot of the really good teams in this tournament. And so when you look at the path Argentina has, you know, they've got Switzerland, which I think is a very winnable match for them. And then if they get through that, they get the winner of United States, Belgium, which also should be a winnable match. And then really the only really good team in that other pod that they would face in the semifinals is the Netherlands. And obviously that would be tough the way the Netherlands is playing, but they've got a history of flaming out early in tournaments. So I really think Argentina and Netherlands both got a pretty good draw in terms of just the way those two brackets got divided. Cause I think, you know, five or six of the top seven or eight teams ended up in that one side of the bracket. And I think for Brazil and Colombia and Germany and France, it's going to be a much, much tougher road to get to the final than it is for Argentina or Netherlands.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of Argentina, they just need to really buckle down and keep doing what they're doing on defense, because clearly they can just let Messi take over and do whatever the hell he wants. But what it comes down to, I believe, when they have to face maybe Brazil, is the fact that they're not the home side, and there's a lot of hatred towards them coming from the home team.
It'll be interesting to see what happens if Brazil is knocked out before Argentina.
Right.
Although although there'll be a lot of Argentinian fans left, but I don't know if Brazil will be kinder to them.
No.
I doubt it.
I think.
I mean, my dream scenario is just as a neutral.
It's Argentina Brazil final. You
know, Argentina Brazil final in the Americana. I mean, I think that would be great. You know, other than the United States going all the way, I think that's the dream scenario for football fans.
For the neutrals, well, one of those two. I mean, I'll be perfectly happy with the Germany Argentina, mostly because I predicted that. But honestly, you want the two top South American teams to square off, or you want the best European team against the best South American team, mm-hmm. any which way. Mm-hmm. You're going to get Brazil against Germany in the semifinal if Germany gets, you know, if they do what they are supposed to do.
Yeah.
And if Germany are good enough to beat Brazil, then you want to see Germany. You're going to want to see Germany play Argentina then. All right, now beat Messi.
Right.
And then we'll crown you world champions, and rightfully so, because if you can go through that gauntlet, mm-hmm. you know, they're going to have to face the winner of Colombia, Uruguay, mm-hmm. right? They're going to run the gauntlet of
from here on out.
Right.
Yeah.
So
I mean, that begs the question right there. What do you think Brazil is going to do? Do you think they're capable of making it to the final?
I mean, I've already said they're going to win, so...
Okay, well, then, I guess.
And you rescinded it and said that you were jumping ship to Argentina.
Right, but,
so,
like, my memory isn't, like, the best right now. Give me a break, okay? Argentina...
Well, who's your pick? Are you sticking with Brazil, or are you going with Argentina?
I'm sticking with Brazil.
Okay.
Because I'm a man of my sort of words.
Flip-flopper.
He's
been in America for a couple of weeks, and he's already learned to be a politician here. He's flipping politics.
I did not sleep with Brazil.
Personally,
I'm not convinced. I'm just not convinced by them. Their group, the toughest team that they faced was probably Mexico. Well, Croatia played really well against them. Croatia got screwed over for a victory. So, and that even was unconvincing from Brazil. I blame a lot on the Croatian keeper, but I think that
it was less than impressive.
Yeah, I think that there's something about them that just sort of lacks discipline, to be honest. They all seem to have clashing egos and split personalities, you know. One day you'll get a great performance from Dani Alves, and the next day, you know, he'll be sort of quiet. And I think the most consistent player is Neymar, but he's also, you know, the youngest on that team. So it's sort of a conundrum with those guys right now.
Yeah, I suppose it is. But let's move on from that now. Standout players. I mean, we've been asked to choose. I want to ask you guys to choose an XI, favorite XI. But if you could choose three players, mm-hmm. and I'll just choose two because I'm cool and I'm allowing you guys to be the better man.
Okay.
So choose three. Okay, you can choose. You know what? I'll just take one. You guys, you choose your best defense. Okay. You choose your best midfield, and you choose your best favorite attackers. It's a formation. It's 4-3-3.
Okay.
You want to start with the defense?
Obviously, Gary Medel. I like Mats Hummels a lot. Dani Alves for me.
You say obviously Gary Medel?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like Chile. Pulling it out of that group.
Cardiff.
It's
big time here.
Are you trying to impress Solskjaer again, you fucking United creep?
Well, the babyface assassin deserves our respect. I would say For midfield, I'm loving the little guys.
I thought I'm going
midfield. Oh, you're going midfield? Okay. Well, can I at least say my Tim Howard then? Can that be a part of my
Tim
defense?
Howard can be your goalkeeper.
Okay.
I was going to do the goalkeeper.
Oh, well then.
You know what? Just take it, United fan.
Who's your goalkeeper? We start from the back.
My goalkeeper was the greatest Nigerian ever alive. Sorry, Travis. It was Eneyemo.
Okay. All right.
Shout out to Ochoa, too, who was pretty great in that Brazil game.
Yeah.
And
Joaquin, Tim Howard.
I'd go in midfield, I really think.
You have three players, because Martin gets three as well.
Oh, I got one more. Diego Godin.
He's your other defender?
Yeah, that's my other defender. That was the one I was missing out
on. Fair enough. In midfield, I got to go with the standout, James Rodriguez. Yep. He's been one of my favorite players at the tournament. He scored my favorite goal so far of the tournament. Mm-hmm. With that sick, nasty,
inside-outside. It was an awful, awful goal.
It was fucking beautiful. So he's a standout performer to me. I'd say I want to include Valbuena as a midfielder because he really isn't a striker.
Matuidi?
Yeah.
Matuidi's been really solid. Matuidi's been very solid.
You'd want him in your team. And Gustavo, I mean... I'm not going to help you.
Yeah, this is not your midfielders.
I got one. I'm happy with one.
You're wrong, but
I'm happy.
No, go on. Omar, do you have any midfielders that really stood out to you?
I mean, I guess it depends on whether you think Muller's a striker or a midfielder.
I think he's more of a midfielder, but he's been playing striker, so I want to count him as a striker.
Yeah,
because he's been playing there
for all intents and purposes. Yeah.
And Arjen Robben too, I think, has been pretty
bad. I mean, he deserves to be.
Should not
team,
be swearing though, so. On the microphone.
Shout out to Jermaine Jones too, who's been pretty immense for the United States.
Represent.
Yeah. I loved when he took out that referee. That was
so your strikers, Martin.
Yeah, well, I think Neymar's been fantastic. I don't actually watch a lot of Spanish league matches, so I really hadn't seen that much of him play for Barcelona. He's been pretty fantastic. And, talk about somebody who's under a lot of pressure. Those Brazilian players must just have the weight of the world on their shoulders.
The thing is, I've watched Neymar. I'm a douchebag for saying this. I've watched Neymar since he was 17. Okay, he can do so much better than what he's doing, and that's the best part about his game.
Yeah.
So he's got loads to go. But go ahead, finish your.
He's been fantastic. So I'd put him as a striker. I'd put Messi up there too, just because I think he's also been in tough circumstances, and has done pretty great. And then I think Benzema. Again, we talked about what a great midfield France has had, and they've created a lot of chances for him. But, I mean, he's really finished pretty well, and he's one of those strikers that's not just a finisher that integrates well into the midfield. I think he's been a pretty key component of that France team. So those are my three. I think all three of those guys have been pretty fantastic.
Yeah, their front six has really been clicking across the board. I mean, everyone has been interchanging and been really good football there for France.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I also just randomly want to put a shout out for Fabian Johnson as the right back on my best 11. I think he's been great so far.
Yeah, no.
He hasn't looked out of place at this World Cup, and that's a big thing to give to him.
And that's part of the reason why, I mean, Jurgen was so hell-bent on getting to secure his services and to get him to bring in because he knew he had
How many
caliber.
Apps has he had?
Not many. I don't know the number offhand. Do you know the number of how many apps he's had? It wasn't that many. He played for us and was gone for a little while. Yeah, it's low, but we're happy to have him because he really is of the caliber that we really need at those kind of positions because he can... You know, you don't feel like you're going to get violated down that side by...
Violated.
Well, honestly, like, I mean, I still, I mean, as good of a servant as DeMarcus Beasley has been, I mean, the thought of certain players running at him does make me nervous, I'm sorry to say. And I don't think the same way about Johnson. I think he can hold his own against players of higher caliber. And that's...
Yeah, 24. He's got 24 caps for the United States.
24.
Yeah, Beasley's pretty scary. We have to figure something out at left back. I don't know if Chandler can be better by 2018 or not, but that's
right. That or something else. I don't know.
I mean, I love Beasley for his long-term service to my country, but enough is enough.
We're going to head to the predictions.
Well, we have a couple of matches coming up tomorrow.
Yes, we do. So tomorrow is Brazil versus Chile. Is it?
It is.
We've had a day without football and everyone's going crazy.
Yeah. So.
Meanwhile, I'm relaxing because it's nice not to wake up so early. or to complain about.
Heaven forbid that he has to get up for a match at 9 a.m.
Okay, okay. I don't want to wake up and complain about waking up early. That's not because I'll get that kind of snarky commentary from you, Joaquin. So
I mean, even the East Coast deals with 9 a.m. We deal with 4:45 in the morning over here.
Well,
so, yeah, seriously. You know.
Shut your
Let's stop comparing. It's not a competition, you guys. Okay.
You said it's always a competition with you, Alex.
Yeah, but only when I win.
Only when you win.
Clearly a hypocrite, just like his Brazil-Argentina pick. Always the hypocrite.
Do not trust anything from this man. He is a flip-flopper.
This is racism and Orientalism. I deplore it. And, okay, so the predictions for tomorrow. What have you guys got down for happening? I mean, we've got people on Twitter saying Chile might win, which is crazy. I'm telling you, you're crazy. Don't tweet me again.
Chile could win. Chile,
you're crazy.
Chile,
don't tweet me again.
No. Chile could win, but I'm not picking them to win.
No, I'm not picking them.
I can't go against Brazil in this match. I really don't. I think Chile's shown a lot of attacking talent and a lot of attacking verve, a lot of passion. I mean, if they can get a goal early and get behind it, they could get something. But I would not pick against Brazil in this match. They're just too deep and too strong for this team. And I think
too deep and too strong.
Well, I just don't think. I'm sorry, your boy Medel. I don't think he's good enough.
You're saying he's not going to be a pillar of strength in that
back
line.
A very short pillar. Very short squat pillar. He has the physique of me.
You clearly haven't watched Game of Thrones.
Neymar will not have time for step overs with Medel in defense. You know, he's just going to be tackled too.
All right, I'll pick Medel gets sent off in this match. How about that? Because we all know it's not a World Cup without Medel sending off.
Ah, well, of course.
Medel, does he ever go more than 10 matches without at least, you know,
I have no
double
idea.
Yellow?
No, I haven't been monitoring Cardiff as closely as I should have been.
Cardiff disciplinary record?
Yeah.
You guys should be ashamed of yourself.
Well, Medel is notorious.
As much as of a Solskjaer fan as I am.
Solskjaer. Say Norwegian-wise, man.
Solskjaer.
Solskjaer.
Yeah. I mean, I think Chile's actually been a better team than Brazil in this tournament so far. But for me, it's been so long since Brazil has lost a competitive match in Brazil that I just until they do, I'm not picking against them. So.
And you know even if Chile do well, you know, halftime, some bribes, some little sneaky favors are going to happen, and.
Would it surprise anyone if Brazil got a decision here? I mean,
it wouldn't surprise me. Oh, last God. Minute penalty. Right, so that's what I think. What's the other match? That's all. Is there another match? Is just one tomorrow?
Yeah, Colombia, Uruguay.
Yeah.
Colombia, Uruguay. See, I'm forgetful. Forgive me.
I mean, look, I think we've got something really big in store for us. Obviously, the whole post Suarez gate, Suarez bite.
Oh my God, him again.
Yes, yeah, so we don't need to dwell on Suarez now. He's
Wait,
got
what happened
his
to
ban.
Suarez? Did he do something wrong?
He's received his ban, but I think it's about fucking time that Edinson Cavani stepped up to the plate because as great of a player as he is, he's never really assumed the mantle and, you know, done everything for his team. He scores,
and he's
he
had
scores
chances
good,
to, you know, because
he scored some good goals in qualifying. He, you know, he's been
it's
coming
not the same.
Along. But he's got to come up and be the big man. If they're going to get past Colombia, Cavani's going to have to be at the center of everything they do because we know the midfield isn't the strongest, you know.
Right, of course.
Uruguay's midfield hasn't really been that dynamic, and so we really need to see something special from them. Martin, do you have any strong feelings about this match?
Strong feelings.
My strong feelings are that I want Colombia to dance.
Yes.
Score and dance and score and dance and score and dance.
I want to see tears flowing down Luis Suarez's eyes as he watches.
You won't get it. He can't be in the stadium.
He can't be in the stadium.
Nothing.
He's been kicked out.
Can they set up a GoPro in his hotel room at least to film the crying?
Do you think
the
GoPro, a good GoPro, do you think a GoPro will stand against his team? Teeth.
I mean, oh man, yeah. I mean, you know, those things are like.
Unless you invest in the proper case for
A Luis Suarez GoPro or a GoPro. Sounds so wrong. Sorry, guys.
But it would be kind of funny if Uruguay just, as a big FU to whoever they think is oppressing them in the world, just came out and beat them. But I really hope that doesn't happen.
Colombia's not
been
at
so
all.
Fun
and none of you guys forward. Believe that Uruguay will not play this match.
No. No,
they'll play.
That's a big huffing and puffing, but right. they're going to play.
What if they don't play?
Then they're fucking idiots.
A win for Colombia. We move on. A win for Colombia, we move on.
I understand defending your player, but you have to understand. I know Tavares came out today and said that he thought some sort of punishment was right.
Uh-huh.
He wanted the same for the guy who bit Chiellini. He wanted the punishment for Chiellini as well.
Fuck that. No, I'm sorry. I wish he had clocked him and knocked him out with the yeah. elbow. That would have been a little bit of justice. And because honestly, if that had really happened, he really could have gotten a red card and sent off there. But honestly, he probably would have rather taken that red card, so uh-huh. I assume they got eliminated anyway.
Right.
And really dealt with
it. You know
there.
What's great? Luis Suarez has made Zidane look like the classiest thing ever. He's made the 2006 yeah. World Cup seem like a dream.
Right.
You know, because a little headbutt is nothing now. No. I mean, what the fuck is a headbutt compared to a bite?
I mean, that you have to wonder, though. You know, with all these headbutts that have been going on, I mean, Fellaini...
There's been so many.
Yeah, Fellaini's yeah. been called out twice this season.
And you can't see his head because the hair is in his way. Yeah. So you just see his hair shaking and you don't know what's going on.
You got to beg yeah. the question, what's really worse and how come headbutts are accepted more commonly as a part of the game, which naturally they should be versus a bite.
And what about butt butts? You know?
Well, look, there's much more incidental contact between heads. You don't really bite someone in the back or right, you know, it's right. not, it doesn't really just happen out of nowhere. Yeah.
That's like my favorite dates to like go on.
Yeah, I wish Suarez had bitten Balotelli just to see what happened.
Wow, yeah.
Man.
You don't think Balotelli deals with enough?
I don't think Suarez has the balls to bite Balotelli.
Maybe like unleashing the Kraken. I don't know what the fuck is going to happen. That sounds yeah. like a disaster. Yeah. But so, you could yeah. charge everyone $100 on pay-per-view.
Oh,
for that
man.
Pressure.
Yeah. That...
No, somebody could have died.
Yeah.
It would have been great if he bit Gerard and Gerard slipped as he bit him.
He missed his chance. He had his chance.
Yeah. He didn't bite Gerard or Sturridge.
So what are our picks? Are you're picking Colombia?
Yeah,
Colombia and
Colombians
Brazil.
Will dance.
Colombia, yeah.
And give us a score line, because no one cares if you're wrong, and then you can take the glory if you're right.
I care.
3-1 Colombia.
3-1 Colombia, Mark.
I mean, you know, the fact that they lost 3-1 to Costa Rica without Suarez is a good indicator for what the result may be against Colombia. But I say 3-0. I say they don't even get a goal. Cavani stays quiet.
3-0.
I'm going for a 1-1 extra time, and Uruguay win on penalties.
Oh, shit.
Piss everyone off.
Yeah.
That sounds like a very Uruguayan result. Yeah. That sounds like a very Uruguayan result. That's Since you took that, I have to go different then. I was not going to go the extra time, but it sounds so good now. I wish I'd come up with that myself.
It's realistic.
I'm going to go with a 2-1 to Colombia.
It's a Disney fairy tale for Uruguay.
It's going to be late. I don't know if it'll be regular time, extra time, but it's going to be 2-1
Colombia.
2-1 Colombia. Cavani does get a goal, though.
Okay.
And we'll see.
Some an own goal?
Rodriguez.
Okay.
I don't know if he'll score the goal provided, but we'll see. The big players will be in play, and they will be making a difference tomorrow.
Will Jackson Martinez start?
I don't know, man. I don't think he necessarily will, but I mean, he gave his best case possible, right? He scored a brace.
Absolutely.
A nice brace, too, man. I love it. I love being able to see a guy that big with the good technical ability.
20 goals in Portuguese league and, and you know, finally showing his national side what he's capable of.
Right. And then he got that monkey off his back, like you said, that he's able, you know, he's now gotten rid of that drought. He's scored the goals. But they're nice. I mean, look at that second goal, that cut back, that turn to the inside and bending it in was just...
Infinite more confidence.
Oh yeah,
in that second goal than there was in that first.
And he just did it, and he was so composed. Uh-huh. Like, okay, he's got that done. Now let him loose and look at what's going to happen. I'd like to see Jackson Martinez play for Colombia. I think he's more dangerous than Teofilo Gutierrez. But you know, who knows? We'll see what they do. But I mean, they're not going to be short of any kind of talent. I mean, they've still got Cuadrado. They've got other guys on the pitch that are really delivering, and they've got pace and everything. This side really doesn't even look like they're missing Falcao. I mean, imagine if they had Falcao. If they had a fucking Tigre right there.
Oh,
I mean, if they had Falcao, people would still be. I mean, look, aren't really discounting them, but I don't think many people have them passing Brazil in the next round. I think that's a little bit short-sighted because they could easily be the team that could go and face Germany in the semifinal.
Mm-hmm.
Or France, whoever it might be that they play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who's to say what they can do? Because, you know, go on a run and they're right there.
I mean, you're looking at the same scenario as the Thomas Müller back in 06, right? Just coming out of nowhere, taking his team to the semifinals.
2010.
Being able to rely on that young star to score their goals and carry their team. And this is what you have with James. And I think we all can appreciate and admire what he's doing right now. And there is absolutely no reason why
I can't because he plays for Monaco.
Oh, right. Yes, of course.
Martin, do you think Germany are good enough to make the final? I mean, you think they're going to do it, actually? Make it through?
They're definitely good enough. But it's tough. I mean, obviously, I think they kind of got the easiest draw for this round of 16 in Algeria, which is a good deal for them. But yeah, I mean, having to go through France and then Brazil to get to the final is a tough road, because I think, you know, with Netherlands, those have been the three best European sides so far. France is playing good, could give them a tough match, but I still Brazil is my pick to win it all. So I'd have to say I don't think they're going to, but you know, if anybody is going to knock off Brazil, I think it's going to be Germany, because I, you know, on a neutral field, neutral conditions, everything else being equal, I think Germany's the best team in the world. I just think, you know, being in South America, being in Brazil is enough of an advantage for Brazil to carry them through. But that's, I mean, to me, if that ends up happening in that semifinal, Brazil-Germany is probably the match of the tournament.
And I just like to throw in that I picked Spain to win it all. so now I would like to change that now.
I think you need to leave.
You have been eliminated.
I would like to change that now to another unlikely team, the Netherlands. I say
unlikely
they're going to win it now.
I wonder why this fucking man is picking the Netherlands now.
I'm getting behind my man. I'm getting behind my man.
You fucking
Louis
sick
van Gaal. Netherlands is going to win it all.
Can we just fast forward?
I believe.
Your opinions are no longer valid. I'm cutting you out of this. I don't know how I'm going to edit you out of this live video. It's not going to work.
You guys just watch. I was allowed one bad call with Spain.
One bad call.
Netherlands is going to do it.
That's going
to
be the one.
No mulligans. Yeah. You have your bracket of integrity. You have to stick by it.
And so who do we have on Sunday? We have Colombia, right? Oh, no, I'm sorry. Who plays on Sunday? Do you know?
That is Netherlands, Mexico.
Netherlands, Mexico,
and
that's gonna be a huge game for the Mexicans, man.
yeah, it's gonna be so much fun.
What if they beat them? Oh my god, Van Persie's face.
Who else? And it'll be what? Costa Rica versus
Costa Rica, Greece.
Greece.
The match of the tournament.
The match of the tournament.
You guys make fun of it, but the Greeks will surprise you again.
I don't think they're gonna pick them to win
against them.
You're gonna pick the Greeks to win?
Yeah.
Really? Wow.
I pray for the neutral and for humankind that the Greeks lose.
I agree.
Get a little more Costa Rica.
I agree.
Joel Campbell.
You clearly
Joel
don't
Campbell.
Appreciate the cunningness of Salpangidis. Okay.
Or Samaras, for that matter.
Samaras is the model footballer, given that he has no talents.
He could be a Greek male model, but not a footballer.
Yeah, I have a friend who always says Samaras gets the last laugh, and that was apparent in that match against the Ivory Coast.
He doesn't even get the first laugh. He gets no laughs whatsoever.
But, I think Costa Rica is just way too organized for them. I think that Costa Rica knows how to score when it counts.
And the Greeks don't?
I give them that for that match, but they didn't score at all in the previous two matches, so
and they still got through.
Yeah, how they made it through is a sheer miracle, and you know, by the beard of Zeus, you know, he allowed that to happen. So.
I mean, even Zeus was like, "What the fuck?"
Yeah, yeah, I think he was a little shocked, you know. But I think that it would be a foolish call to say Costa Rica doesn't make it out of that match victorious.
I wouldn't say it's foolish. I mean, they are.
I'm like, foolish now. I'm going to cry.
People keep writing off. People keep writing off Costa Rica.
Exactly.
I mean,
keep writing off Greece. The country of gods.
If they were playing anyone but Greece, then people would probably think they were going to go out, even though they were, you know, they won the group.
Absolutely.
So I think this match is a bit more of a toss-up. Like you said, the Greeks are not easy to break down, but I think that Costa Rica will have the quality. Martin, what's your prediction for this? Who do you think is going
to
win?
Yeah, I think it's pretty close to a toss-up, but out of sheer wishful thinking, I'll go with Costa Rica.
Yeah, but just think about this, okay? The Greeks have very big eyes. They've been watching these tapes of Costa Rica play every single hour.
And the only team...
Like Maniatis all the time, okay? They know exactly what's going to happen.
The only team they drew with... With Japan, who have very small eyes, is what you're saying, then.
No, we're not going to go into that. we're not going into this.
Is that what you're saying, huh?
So you're trying to say our Singaporean friend smells something.
Right? Yeah, that's a little fishy, that statement, you know?
We're going to enjoy my lemon.
We can now transition to the eugenics portion of the podcast.
I was going to say you were side-eyeing him, right?
Yeah,
But, so let's move on to the other match, though. Do you think that... Does anyone here think Mexico are going to knock off the Netherlands? No. Martin, I know you're not a big fan of our Mexican brethren from the South.
They're beautiful, man. How can you hate the Mexicans?
I'm half Mexican, half white American, so you know they are my second team. Just football wise. You love their food and their women.
I mean, food and culture. I'm a fan of the Mexican people and culture.
Good answer.
Just not the team, and not the football fans. But yeah, Holland has a long storied history of screwing up in major tournaments and losing teams that they probably shouldn't lose to. And Mexico's played really well. And I said this from the moment the United States beat Panama to let Mexico in this tournament, that Mexico's going to go far. I mean, this just, they're going to squeak into the tournament. They're going to turn it around. Herrera's done a fantastic job.
Well, this was supposed to be their tournament,
that
right?
Team mm-hmm. playing good again. And so I would not count them out of that match, because I could see Holland doing something stupid and starting to implode, Mexico getting an early goal, and
Van
then
Percy red card, you know, Robin red card, any which way.
They're going to need a lot of red cards.
Louis van Gaal red card. No. Sent off for bad dress sense.
No. How about, I think the best justice would be an Arjen Robin, like, second yellow card for diving in the box.
Diving into Van Percy
right that would be
legs.
The best, yeah.
Well, that could be even better.
You Arsenal fans are still bitter about that, huh?
imagine the scenario. Mexico finds a way to get past that, and then all of a sudden the only thing standing between them and the World Cup semifinal is Greece or Costa Rica, you know?
You would fancy them making, and if they can get through Holland, you would fancy them getting through potentially.
And if they don't, you would fancy
meet up with Argentina.
Holland could go far. I don't like this.
Certainly, no, I don't like it either.
Exactly my point.
You're right. You do pick the easy road.
Is that what you think?
They play these matches for a reason. So we have to see what they actually do. But let's get our predictions. Mark, we'll start with you. Do you think the Mexicans will take the Dutch?
Ooh. Sadly, I'm gonna say no. Yeah. I think the Dutch will succeed, and as a neutral, I would love to see the Mexicans prevail, because, I mean, I live in California. I mean, a lot of my friends are Mexican, right. And I want to see the smile on their faces. but
he's brown enough. He's token.
The one weakness that the Mexicans seem to have. Is keeping up with
life
pace.
Life choices.
Too much tequila, and they struggle against a team that has a lot of pace. The Brazil match, as great as that was, Ochoa did have to make a lot of saves. There were a lot of opportunities for Brazil, and I think the Netherlands are going to get just the same amount. So at the very worst for Mexico, 2-0.
So you have the Dutch winning 2-0.
What about you, Martin? What do you think?
I'm going all in. This is CONCACAF's World Cup. It's going to go 2-2. Mexico goes through on penalties.
Ooh. Wow. All right.
How about you?
Well, I mean, now I'm going with the grain. I thought I'd be going against the grain with Mexico, but it's going to be 50-50. I don't know if you're going to pick the Mexicans. You got to pick the Dutch, aren't you? I'm going to go with Mexico. Mexico 2-1, regulation. Mexico 2-1.
I'm going to go for the Dutch 3-0 at halftime, and then two sendings off, and then it's 4-3 for Mexico.
I love it.
I would love to see that, just for the comeback.
Imagine the red Dutch faces as we...
Oh, boy.
Oh.
I mean, orange faces.
It may just be wishful thinking, but we can, you know, that's what we...
I could do with that. Yeah, I could do
bunch
it.
Of Dutch haters here.
We don't really have any reason to like anyone Dutch anymore. You know? It's just kind of how it is.
Hey,
I don't blame you. Bergkamp's still our boy, but outside of that, that's
what would he say about this? What would he say?
He'd agree.
He'd agree. He's like, I told him.
Bergkamp is a just God.
He's a just God.
Right. That's
fair
right.
Fair and righteous God.
He knows what's right.
Sure.
Well, thank you so much, Martin, for joining us. It's been a pleasure recapping and chatting football with you. We will be back again soon with more roundups after the weekend, getting ready for the USA and whatnot going into next week. But it's been a pleasure. You can follow these fine fellows on Twitter, Martin at HeisenbergCamp, Mark at MarkJC88, Alex at @the_Beck_ and me at Morning Pint. And we'll see this again soon. Thank you so much, Martin.
Yeah, thanks so much,
guys.
Thank
you to our viewers as well for watching us. Have a wonderful evening or night.
Absolutely. All right, thanks, guys. Do this again.
Go USA.
No way.
USA.
sun.